This is the time of year when I think even non-horse racing fans, they've been stopping. They watch the Kentucky Derby. This year's race certainly brought excitement, although we learned this past week Rich Strike isn't going to be in the Preakness. Seems the owners are actually more caring about the well-being of the horse than any more fame. Imagine that. Yeah, I know, they're already playing with a big pile of house money with that anyway, but my next guest is here to tell another story from the track, the paddock, and the stables. Story of spectacular bid. It's a lot more than just about a horse who failed to win the Triple Crown back in 1979. When you bring into the story the various human connections, you learn the truth versus the legend. After all these years, this story's finally been told in the book The Fast Ride, Spectacular Bid, and The Undoing of a Sure Thing, written by author and journalist Jack Gilden, who joins us now. Hello, Jack.
Hi, how are you, Chris?
Fantastic to have you here because, as I said, non-fan, horse addict, are both equally going to learn from this story. By the way, you can follow Jack on Twitter at Jack Gilden, G-I-L-D-E-N, and keep up to date with his writings. Just for the non-fan and maybe the younger horse fan, talk about the significance back in the day of Spectacular Bid and what that horse was accomplishing and what it meant to the industry.
Well, the 70s are kind of looked at as a golden age of racing because so many great horses, which began with Secretariat, and Secretariat had kind of swept away the dark ages of racing. Nobody had won the Triple Crown since right after World War II. And so Secretariat came in and not only finally won it, but did it in spectacular fashion, setting course records at all three venues, and especially at the Belmont Stakes, where he had a very dramatic victory, and he was so far ahead of every other competitor there. So it was a golden age for racing. Soon after Secretariat came Seattle Slough, just a couple years later, and then after Seattle Slough were affirmed in Aladar, who had like an Ali Frazier kind of rivalry going, but affirmed won the Triple Crown under the very appealing face of Stevie Coffin as the jockey. So when Spectacular Bid came, it looked to everyone like he would be the next Triple Crown winner because he was breaking Secretariat speed records all over the place. The horse was clearly superior to every other horse of his generation. And he looked not only superior in his own generation, but probably the best horse of the 20th century.
And normally, too, what happens, a jock can be plugged into that horse. He'll stay for a little bit, maybe for the run, maybe not. And an owner and trainer can flip jocks rather easily. It seemed like in this case, the jockey Ronnie Franklin and Spectacular Bid, they literally grew up and into each other.
Well, I think that what's so interesting about it is that the jockey was only a teenager. Coffin had been set the year before with Coffin. But this young man, Ronnie Franklin, he didn't grow up in Kentucky on a farm like Coffin did. He grew up in Dunbar, Maryland, which is a steel town, like Pittsburgh. Very urban, very rough. And he grew up in that town, and he had never seen a horse in person until he walked through the gates of Pimlico at age 15 to be a hot walker. So that's part of what made the story so appealing, but it's also a big part of the underbelly of the story.
It really comes down to who do you associate with, who do you attach yourself to, and in this case, I don't think Ronnie Franklin could have made a worse mistake than who he chose to. I mean, conditions being what they were with his life and everything and his goals. But when it comes to finding mentors, he could have done better than Buddy Delp.
Well, Buddy Delp was the trainer. And in fact, in Ronnie's own time, if we go back and see the things that Ronnie saw, the press of that era saw, Buddy Delp seemed like the luckiest break that a kid could have because King Henry was just presented as a hot walk. Anybody could have gotten him. It just so happened that the Delp operation needed a hot walker that day. So that's kind of how they ran into each other. But Delp was a bona fide legend by the time that Ronnie ran across him. He had lost his entire stable to fire in the early 1960s, came out with only two horses left out of more than 30, and then immediately started rebuilding his stable of horses and still won the championship that year in Maryland for the most victories of any trainer. He was a man who used drugs regularly, and he had kind of introduced them to Ronnie and to his own teenage son, Gerald, and used them with those two. and kind of got them on the road to a very heavy addictions.
So Jack Gilden, his book, The Fast Ride, Spectacular Bid, and The Undoing of a Sure Thing. Follow Jack on Twitter, at Jack Gilden. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. As you go through the story of the development of the working together of Ronnie and Buddy, and Ronnie's further fall into darkness, I'm assuming from the story that it wasn't much of a secret that Ronnie was a troubled guy as success mounted up. And people might just say, well, you know, youth and fame equals trouble. A lot of times we haven't seen that enough in the here and now. But then anyone who could have done something about it seemed to either not want to do it because they might foul up a spectacular, no pun intended, thing that was going on here.
Yeah, well, I think that his parents could see that there were things that were going wrong. And he himself could see that Buddy was having a deleterious effect on his life, not only with the drugs, but he was also, you know, Ronnie was paying for all the drugs in the house. And he was losing poker pots, and he was laying down debts for him, and he was giving him large sums to do that. The money would just disappear. You know, so he knew that Buddy wasn't totally healthy for him. But to understand the way they saw it, you'd almost have to understand Dundalk and the lifestyle of that Baltimore community. They worked in those factories, especially the steel mill that was there, had the largest blast furnace in the Western Hemisphere. It built the huge bridges of skyscrapers that are famous in America, helped the war effort. But it was a dangerous place to work.
You also bring forward to the various elements around in the peripheral. Most importantly, I guess, is we see today in someone in a team sport, for example, is succeeding. Other teams think, hey, this is good for the sport. It's going to help me. It's going to be a wonderful thing. There weren't too many contemporaries and peers who were fans of Ronnie.
No, well, because he had kind of taken on the personality of Buddy, and he had kind of an arrogance that came out of that organization with so many good horses and especially Spectacular Bid. So in a lot of the case, though, the animosity aimed at the jockey came really from the things that the trainer said and did. But, you know, he couldn't take it out on the trainer because the other jockeys wanted to get work from him. So they would take it out on the jockey.
A lot of time, if you're a long-time horse racing aficionado and maybe even lost a few bucks that day with Spectacular Bid, the dismissal of what happened it was easy at the time. But what Jack does with his new book is there's a lot of blanks that needed filled in, and he indeed did that. If you look overall, Jack, from the timeline of start to finish, what would Franklin have been without Delp? Would there have been a successful jockey, Ronnie Franklin, if Franklin was the hot walker for another trainer?
Well, it's I think that's really the question, and that it's very much in doubt what he would have been. He certainly had the talent to be a great jockey. It was innate. He had the right build, and he was strong. He was tough. You know, he had everything. The people that trained him down in Middleburg, Virginia, all to a person, said that he was a very good jockey. On the other hand, who knows what would have happened. He was a 10th grade dropout of school. He was working at a Roy Rogers at the time that he showed up to be a hot walker. So, I mean, there's really no way of going back in time and saying what might have been if it went in a different direction, except to say that it obviously he achieved great things, and it was a disaster both the way it went.
I want to add here, too, what Jack does with the, especially toward the end of the story, he takes you literally inside the key races of the Triple Crown to show what some of the things were happening back then, how races were run. It's almost as we watch everything happening between Ukraine and Russia. It's almost there's a lot of similarities between a battle and a reaction, an advance and a response. And that's really what happens during a race, just as it does today. But a lot of what happened then is not exactly allowed to happen now. That's the game has changed quite a bit. But what Jack does is the assumptions have been longstanding, 43 years when you think about that, but the facts are now finally known in The Fast Ride, Spectacular Bid, and The Undoing of a Sure Thing. If you're a horse racing fan and a historian, it's a book you're going to enjoy. If you're someone who is not a horse racing fan but enjoys one hell of a human interest story, This, too, is a book that you are going to enjoy. You can follow Jack on Twitter at Jack Gilden. And by all means, make this a must-read, especially since we're in the season where a lot of non-fans become horse racing fans. This will bring you a little history of the sport as well. Jack Gilden, thanks so much for bringing the story to light. And I think you took weight off of some. You put focus on where it belongs. And you put reality into where a lot of myth had been. So thanks for doing that, for being here today.
Thank you very much for having me, Chris. Talk to you soon.